So I finished last week, and I have such a passionate, like, so I, when I started this 5 weeks ago, I didn't even really know that was going to be the message until just like the day before. And God was stirring this message in my heart about being in the presence of God. And that being the thing that marks us is that we carry his spirit in us. We carry his presence in us. He empowers us. He distinguishes us that way. And we're different than the world, not because we're better. We're never better than anybody, but we're different. You can't say that we're not different because we have God living inside of us. So we better be different. Turn to your neighbor, say, you better be. You better be different. If the creator of the universe is living inside of you, there better be a difference in us, in our thought process, in our behavior. And so just was so consumed with this. And so I thought it was going to be kind of a one-off deal. Then it turned into a two Sunday, and then it turned into a three. And then so I've been telling people, they've been just a lot of feedback. Man, these messages have been amazing. I said, I feel like, which is the place to be all the time, but sometimes you're not. I said, I don't feel like I've been the leader. I feel like I've been following, just like you guys, I've been following in front of the rest of you. And that's where I should be all the time, but just following the cloud, right? Following the leading of the Spirit. And I'm like, God, where is this going? So when I got done last time, I knew we got rushed at the end, and I felt something that I have never felt in all the years of preaching. I felt grief. At the end of my message, I just stopped. And if you were here, you remember it, or if you watched the thing, like I stopped and I apologized to you. Like I've always the next day, you're like, or Sunday night, you're like, oh man, I should have done that better. You know, just the normal emotions or whatever your mind's just playing through. Dwight used to talk about that all the time. Oh man, I messed that up. I should have said this different. Monday morning, he'd come in and tell me all the different things he should have preached on. You know, that's just normal processing, whatever. But this was like during the message. It was at the, like, I felt like grief. And it so shocked me because I felt like I didn't communicate. I was so passionate about, I was telling somebody, I don't want anybody to miss out on what I'm trying to say. And like, God, just, I wish God could just come down and tell you and I could get out of the way. But that's not how he has it set up. And I didn't want there to be questions still. I wanted everyone to know they had an invitation to experience the presence of God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, not just in church. And experience a greater measure of that. And I was hoping to connect more dots, and I just didn't feel like we did it. So I was on my way into town Monday morning. And I wasn't depressed or anything, but I said, God, I don't know, like for four weeks now, I didn't know this was going to go that long. Like, what should I preach on? Like, what do I do? Like, you've got to, and so I just said, God, I'm desperate here. You've got to tell me whatever, what the next series is, where do I go from this? And I got to church, made my coffee, whatever. And within a half hour, I think, I get a phone call. And someone that I trust, and they just had a conversation with me. They're like, hey, I think you need to go over, I don't think it needs to be done yet. I think you should like redo some of the stuff that you did, like, because it went so fast. And, you know, 55 minutes later, I'm like, we got to end this thing. And they said, I couldn't, you were saying it was time to quit. And they said, I couldn't believe it. I looked up at the clock and I'm like, where did all that time go? And I think that's what I was just sensing, was just the grief of, like, I don't know. Anyways, and so I said, all right, I'll take that under advisement. Like, I prayed, and there was like a clear answer, but that's just one person. Everyone's got their opinions. And later on that day, another person called, and I got something to talk to you about. So I went over to the house, and like, what's up? Well, I just think that you need to go over the stuff that you did last time. And it was like verbatim. Like, so I started laughing, and they thought I was laughing at them. They're like, what are you laughing for? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I prayed, and like, verbatim, like almost word for word. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. And so I'm like, oh, let's rehash this again. So we have a bunch of new slides, but it's the same. It's the exact same topic. Like the headings are the same. So we're going to talk about how can we really walk in the presence of God. And this is not just formulas, but it's principles, which is kind of like a formula, but it's just not guaranteed that it's going to work exactly the same way every time, but it's a principle. And so this is our verses. We read them last time. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. come on, that's more than just a Bible verse. It's more than just a truth. It's a truth in application. And I said last time, how much more glorious is this new covenant after Jesus paid it all, that we can talk to Jesus face to face. We can hear his voice. We can sense his heart for us. And then where we get this message from, Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the earth? Exodus 33, 15 through 16. Got a couple quotes from A.W. Tozer as we start off today. In the deep recesses of a man's soul lies an overwhelming yearning toward the Creator. This is a common thread through all humanity created in the image of God. Unless and until that desire is fully met, the human soul remains restless, constantly striving for that which is ultimately unattainable. He's saying you've got a yearning in your soul for God, and you sometimes try to scratch that itch with something else. We don't always recognize it. And the entire world, 100% of people, because they're made in God's image, and they have this longing in their soul for something, they just don't always know what it is. And he goes on, he says, whoops, was that it? Oh, I thought there was two of them. I think there's some more later. So he said, how do we experience more of the presence of God? And these are the topics from last time. We're just going over them again. How do I actually do this? All right, Pastor, that's great. I love your theology. Thanks for the Bible verses. Cool quotes. Thumbs up. But what do I do Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, Thursday evening? How do I experience the presence of God in a more real, in a personal way? Like, there's been times I've come to church and like I can kind of feel like it's kind of different. I think it's good and I feel happier. But what about in my own personal life? So here's what we're longing for. And this from the leadership of COC, we're longing for people that practice the presence of God every single day. That when we gather here on Sundays, and there's going to be seasons in your life where you're going through a rough time, and maybe you need the body of Christ. You need to come into the presence of God in the body of Christ. But we're just longing for a people that knows how to walk in the presence of God. Because guess where most of your problems happen? Not in church. They happen out there. So you need the presence of the Lord to be instructing you and guiding you, comforting your soul, giving you wisdom and direction. You need to carry that with you. And so we know that you do carry that with you. So one of the first things is we need to be aware of that. It's just plain awareness. So we read some verses last time. Man, you're in Christ and God is for you, right? We've been given this access to the Father. Right, so you have the Spirit of God in you. God's not out there somewhere. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't manifest his presence more. And we've heard those stories, you know, Aspen and Avery and all, you know, Jim and Mom and Dad talking about just the different stories and Jerry, just how God kind of shows up, right? And it's funny terms because we know God's everywhere. And yet, it's this tension between, yeah, God's absolutely everywhere, and yet, there's times where we feel him more, or we sense his yearning, or leading, or nudging, or conviction. Anyone ever felt conviction before? That's the presence of God, making you aware of garbage in your heart that needs to change. So we need to be aware. So Oswald Chambers says this: get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. Unless in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door wide back and let God in, you'll work on a wrong level all day. But swing the door wide open and pray to your Father in secret, and every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God. Come on, isn't that good? That's such good stuff. That's what he's saying. You know what he's saying? Pitch the tent. That's what he's saying. You remember that? You got to do the work. Oswald Chambers saying, man, God's available. You don't have to coax him into showing up. He's here. And yet, we need to get our hearts in the right place so that we experience him. We invite him into those moments of our day. John Ortberg, he just retired last year, I think. He said, how hard is it? This is the question today, because we're talking about awareness. Talking about being aware of God doing God things in you and around you. How hard is it for God to get your attention? Answer that question personally to yourself, because then you can lie and you don't feel bad about it. I'm just saying out loud what we do in our heads. Do you regularly practice turning aside in your day? That is, taking a moment to listen to God, because God, through the Holy Spirit, really is speaking. Because we know every place is filled with the presence of God. There's not an inch of space, not a moment of time that God does not inhabit. So part of it is just realizing that we don't have to coax God into coming near to us. And yet, there's this tension that says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Do you see what I mean? Like, he's everywhere all the time. He's instantly available. And yet, there's this revelation that we can experience more of him. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't be satisfied with, yep, God's everywhere all the time. I know that. Then we're good. But then we don't experientially experience him. We don't know the peace of God that passes all understanding. We don't see the joy that comes from being in his presence. There's an experiential part of God, and that's what we're leaning into. So his Holy Spirit doing Holy Spirit things in us. We asked this question. This is what we ended with last time. These are great questions to ask. Where have I met God today? And where have I missed Jesus God today? Sorry, if you remember from last week, there was those parentheses that says, or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I was deleting those. I didn't delete Jesus. Thankfully, I didn't delete Jesus. Where have we met God today? Where have we missed God today? So I wrote down this morning as I was just putting the finishing touches on it. I thought, how about some questions of how can I be more aware? How can I be more? So here's just a whole list of questions I'm going to give you. And there could be 10 pages of these. So how can I be more aware of God? Let's just quiet your soul for a second and think, what am I anxious about right now? The context here is, how do I be more aware of God? So if I'm experiencing some anxiety, then I know that's a place that God that he needs to enter into. I need to yield that to him. I need to surrender that to him. What are my thoughts preoccupied with? It's hard to be aware of God when we're not even aware of ourselves. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm kind of poking at here. We're so wrapped up, we don't even know how fast our mind is spinning sometimes. Anyone ever done that? Things got quiet and you went, whoa, my head is a mess. I didn't even realize that. Like, we were just kind of going so fast and furious here, and you slow down and you stop and you're like, wow, I can't even think of something else because I didn't realize that my thoughts were just stuck on this. So what are your thoughts preoccupied with? So then once you kind of figure out where's my heart at, then, hey, how is God trying to get my attention? What kind of nudges am I feeling in my spirit? And maybe write those down. Get a little journal, just, you know, a little diary thing. Write it down. I kind of feel like God's wanting me to, whatever, do this or go here or talk to this person or pray for that or whatever. What is God speaking to me through other people? Wow, I kind of had this little nudge that I should go talk to so-and-so, and then 7 people called me and said, you should go talk to so-and-so. I wonder if the Lord's speaking something. But you laugh, but we can miss it when it's as plain as that. Or is that just me? Okay, it's just me. I can miss that when it's even that plain. What deficit in my soul does God need to fill? Where do I need to invite? What kind of woundedness, what kind of lack is there in my soul that I'm trying to solve some other way? And I'm like, okay, God, we need to deal with this. Jesus, come and heal this part. Come and fill this part of my soul that there seems to be a lack. This would go on and talk about deep healing kind of stuff, but what coincidences have I noticed? Kind of, oh, really? Wow, I was just thinking about that and then that happened. Write it down. What area of my soul is thriving? Where am I doing really well at? And then talk to Jesus about that. So these are just some awareness. I mean, there could be 20 more pages of these kind of questions, but it's just this idea of just stopping and like being aware of what God is, because God's always working and moving around us. He's always speaking to our hearts, and we just kind of, yep, got to get that done. Yep, I got to go do this. And we're just kind of focused. Or if you're a guy, we're checked out. Like, we're just checked out. We're just... nope. And the Holy Spirit is just nudging our hearts this morning saying, how can we be more aware? And that's what Jim talked about. So Jim talked about that part this morning. Talk about a coincidence. Can I read a text that I got this morning from someone that doesn't go to church here? Says, today I am listening to the February 25th episode, and Jim is talking about being a good listener. I looked down at my devotional and a picture that I found yesterday and put in there to memorize from a Woman of Faith conference I attended years ago. A God wink for me for sure this AM. So thankful for your church and messages. So the picture is exactly what Jim was talking about in the sermon. So she just turned on the sermon and listened to Jim talk about, I can't remember even what I got the picture in there. It doesn't matter. But whatever the picture that she had just put in her Bible, she looked down as she turned on or radio or whatever it was to listen to our broadcast. And there was Jim talking about exactly what she had just, that picture that she had just found. That's, you know, coincidences. Where am I seeing God speaking? All of a sudden, in that moment, guess what happened? She became aware of God's presence. Do you see what I mean? Was God still doing it? Absolutely. But she could have missed that, and his presence would have been wanting to break into her routine. So if you're watching this message, thank you very much for sending that this morning. And it's just being aware. And then all of a sudden you go, oh God, are you trying to speak that? And often you'll get this sense of reassurance in your spirit. Your spirit talks to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes our soul usually is built like this and acts like this. Hey! our spirit's usually pretty emaciated because we don't feed it enough. And it's like, hey. So sometimes we miss, our spirit's in constant communication with the Lord, but we miss it because our soul's like, let's talk about me and what I need. And your spirit's like, oh man, this again. Okay? So if we can get that's why some of those first questions, what's preoccupying my soul and my mind? So we get that calmed down so we can actually hear our spirit and the Holy Spirit and the conversation that's going on there. Make sense or not make sense? But when you get aware of that, all of a sudden you start to sense God's presence often. I want to do one other thing. We're just going to keep blazing through this today, and hopefully I don't feel like I felt last week. But if you got a question in the middle of this, this is the Sunday. I mean, you're just like, about the presence of God. Like, I'm not, you know, like, does my goldfish go to heaven? Like, I'm not answering those kind of questions today. I mean, like, specifically about the presence of God. And I'll put myself on the spot and see if I can answer it. And if I can't, I'll let Alan take it from there. So the next topic we talked about was hunger for God. Here's the A.W. Tozer quotes that I was thinking of. He said, this is from The Pursuit of God, which if you haven't read Pursuit of God, that's a great book. It was written probably 60, 70 years ago. But he says, in this hour of all but universal darkness, one cheering gleam appears. Within the fold of conservative Christianity, there are found to be increasing numbers of a people whose religious lives are marked, say marked, they're marked by a growing hunger after God himself. They are eager for spiritual realities and will not be put off with words, nor will they be content with correct interpretations of truth. They are thirsty for God himself, and they will not be satisfied until they have drunk deep at the fountain of living water. Man, I want you guys to be hungry. I pray for that all the time. I walk through this. I walk through the rows. I picture where everybody is at. I see your faces, and I pray for you guys. God, I pray for an awakening in their soul. God, I pray that their spirits would be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. God, give them a hunger for the things of God. Let the things of this world grow dim. God, I pray that they would be passionate for your presence. I pray those prayers for you guys because I know what's on the other side of that. It's good stuff. So let our hearts be hungry for God. So I would say that's one of the, I told you the story last time, remember about playing guitar and I'm like, God, don't let it end. And God responds to hunger. I said, that's why when we go to conferences, it seems like God shows up. Boy, they must be doing something right there. It's because there's a room full of hungry people that are desperate to meet with the Lord. And I would say that those two overarching principles, awareness and hunger, are what drive everything else. The next three, prayer and worship and the Word of God, are just platforms for us to meet him. But without the hunger and without the awareness, see, we can go blazing through. Who in the last year has done a devotion? You read your Bible one day, okay? Most, it's like six of you, okay? Man. And it can be so easy to just check off the list, right? Hey, I got to do my devotions today. And you go in, and you sit down, you flip it open, or you go pray, and you could care less. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but your mind's not on what God really has to show you, or you don't have your mind set on meeting with God. You're doing this, and it's not bad. It's not bad to do this stuff. But I'm just saying, if you want to change your experience of the presence of God, be hungry to meet with God. How many times do we sing worship songs, pray prayers, and read scripture when we have no intention of meeting with the Lord? And that's not a guilt thing. That's just a reality thing. Because guess what? I'm human like you. And, oh, I'm the pastor. I better read my scriptures for the day. And I would much rather err on the side of discipline than on the side of, well, I'm not feeling the Lord. I don't feel the unction of the Spirit today, so I'll skip out. Like, I know me. I need it. So even if I'm in a bad spot and I'm not paying attention, God is gracious, and sometimes he carries his 2x4 with him, and he's like, okay, I know you're just doing this to do it, but, right? And you can accidentally stumble into some revelation sometimes. But if you want to change your experience of the presence of God to be outside of church, I want to experience the Lord like some of those stories you're talking about. You got to want to then. And I can't change your want to. I can pray for you to want to. But you've got to have that hunger. Like, that's up to you. You get to decide if you want to meet with the Lord or not. But I'm just letting you know that 100% of you have free access to do that anytime you want to. Do you understand that? Because I want to communicate that. And, I thought of another story, but I forgot it. So we'll move on. It'll come back if it needs to. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I don't know if this fits or not, but I remember I was living in a trailer house at my mom and dad's, and I was so hungry for God. And I just had lived wholeheartedly for the world, and I said, God, if I'm not going to do that anymore, then I'm just all in. God, I want to meet with you. And I remember someone gave me, I forget what it was, Ross Parsley or something like that. Not Rod Parsley, the preacher, but the worship leader. And I would play that worship music, and I would just walk in the presence of the Lord, and had the Larry Lee tapes on how to pray for an hour, and I just would sit in my little trailer baking sourdough bread and learning how to cook and walking with Jesus when I wasn't out doing construction. And I remember, and I don't know how this fits theologically, I just was praying one time and just was walking through the trailer, just doing stuff or whatever, and I remember the Lord said, I want to meet with you in 45 minutes. It's the only time in my entire life that this ever happened. I said, okay. So 45 minutes later, I went back to my bedroom, and I'm just on my bed, and I don't remember what happened, but I know God showed up. I don't know if he was just seeing if he was just tuning my ear to him. I don't know what it means. I'm the pastor. I have no clue. You tell me. But I just know I obeyed, and God showed up, and it was amazing. And I'm like, God's timeless. He doesn't need 45 minutes to get ready. So I don't know. But I stayed focused and, yeah, went and just met with the Lord. And God just, so many things in my life, so many God moments have happened in my life that have not been in church and have not been at a conference. They've been in my car. They've been in my prayer room. They've been in my walking and just being with the Lord. And I don't want any of you to not ever experience that. That's my passion this morning. So we talk about prayer. That was so prayer and worship and the Word of God. Those are places where that are disciplines in our life, but they're places where we can meet the Lord. They're not the only ones. They're just the three most common and easy access. You can experience the Lord in serving. You can experience the Lord in loving others. You can experience the Lord in calling up a friend and you feel like you got a word. Like there's a thousand ways that we can experience the presence of God. Brother Lawrence, remember talking about him doing dishes. He's just cultivated this life of being in the presence of God. But prayer is one of those, because when you pray, who are you talking to? Talking to God. You should be. And I love it when I forget, you know, I mean, many preachers have said something similar, but they're like, you know, pastor, I didn't really like that prayer. And the pastor said, well, I wasn't talking to you. St. Francis de Sales says, by turning your eyes on God in meditation, your whole soul will be filled with God. Begin all your prayers in the presence of God. So when you go to pray, and I do this 100 times, just to throw up a prayer, whatever. Maybe don't have time to practice this. But if you're going to actually go pray, if you're going to like spend more than like 30 seconds, if you're going to spend a minute or two in prayer, steal your soul. Kind of get your heart in the right place and say, just love on Jesus. Be aware of his presence. Just invite God into this space where, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you about this. And let's read a verse from Philippians. You guys remember this from our Philippians series. The Lord is near. The Lord is what?
Near.
He's near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. But it almost seems like that's some of those questions that we were just talking about earlier. In every situation, by prayer and petition, which is another kind of prayer, and thanksgiving, which is a precursor to prayer, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I would say 95% of us know that verse. Let me throw it to you in the NLT version. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Do you see what's happening there? You're anxious. You're deciding, I don't want to be anxious. I'm going to make room for the Lord, and I need to experience his presence because that's what distinguishes me. So instead of being anxious, I'm saying, what, Lord, what am I anxious about? What am I mind occupied with? That list of questions. I need to bring this before the Lord. You say, God, I'm making a place right now. We're going to pray. I'm going to bring these requests before you. And you just focus your thoughts on Jesus. Jesus, I love you. You're so amazing. I'm about to pray here. I mean, I am praying already, but you know what I mean. I'm going to pray, but now I'm kind of praying. Just come and fill this space right now. Come and fill my heart. Come and fill my car, my room. God, I need your presence in this moment. Lord, I'm really anxious about standing up in front of all these people talking week after week. They scare me. I don't know what to say. Lord, you know what to do. Help me walk through this. And all of a sudden, you start experiencing his peace. Do you see what it's saying? That you're going to experience the tangible presence of God in the form of peace. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, humility, compassion, righteousness, right? All those things. It's not just if God shows up, then you can kind of see those things. That's who God is. It's his presence. You'll experience God's peace. God can't give his peace apart from him. It's him. You're experiencing Jesus. So you go to prayer and you experience Jesus. So if you're hungry for God and you're willing to be aware, your prayers don't just have to be, okay, God, now we need to take care of this. And Lord, I don't know what to do about this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, thanks. And you just go on. Just take a moment. Invite the Lord into that space. God, I don't even know what I'm asking for, but I want your presence. And pastor said I should ask for that. I don't even really know exactly what that means, but I want you. God, I need you. I've tried life with you just on the sidelines. I want you right in the middle of my life. I want to experience your presence. I just want to pray for a little bit, God, and I ask that you just help me to pray the right words. Help me, Holy Spirit, help my prayers to be Spirit-led prayers. I love you, Lord. I thank you that you pray the things through me that I need to pray for you to hear, for you to do what I need, because you work those things out. You're so good, God. See what I just did? I practice this stuff. I need Jesus' presence. It's more than a theory. It's more than just learning about it at church. Man, I need this on Tuesday afternoon when I'm driving bus and the kids are just lovely. I need the presence of Jesus so that I can be distinguished. I need the presence of Jesus to soften my flesh, kill my flesh, some days, like, it's good if we can only get a soften, right? If we turn it from dominant to soften, that, like, what dead is what we're going after, but some days we'll take soften. Worship. I would say for me, and I think it depends. Some of you, like Stephen, is, and he's definitely a worshiper, but silence and solitude is a rich place for him. Getting alone, and like he practices that. And for me, worship has always been a place where I meet God. And I think we got to be really careful. Nah, that's too strong. I think we need to be aware. How about that? Of the difference between my soul and nostalgia and our spirit encountering God. Because sometimes I always feel the presence when we sing that one song. And I would just often challenge you that you feel nostalgia and you really like that song. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't want you to confuse that always with the presence of the Lord. Because you could be in places and I've done this. Places where I'm like, I don't know the words to this. I don't like the beat of this. I go, oh, it sounds like cat scratching on the wall. But you know what? I'm going to sing to the Lord. And you choose in that moment to use that vehicle of worship and create a space for God to show up. And I do that almost every day when I drive into town and when I drive, and just Marnie on her walks, as we're combination of just worshiping and then talking to the Lord and then worshiping and then talking to, when you worship him with a pure heart, not just because you're supposed to, not just because the worship leader says you're supposed to sing these songs, sing it again. And sometimes that's our passion when we just won't quit. Goodness, done that song 4,000 times already. Move on, quit. Let's do something different. We're sensing that God wants to do something, and we're hoping one more person jumps on board. Like one more person, because all this is what I'm saying. It happens corporately and individually. It's you get to decide how hungry you are. You get to decide how willing you are to participate. If you're just doing the stuff, you can sit here all day. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Yes, I don't feel nothing. Yeah, God just wasn't in the service today. And I've also seen people where there's been 40 people in a room and everyone's doing that, but you got the one person that's just, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And they can barely even make it through the words because their heart is hungering for an audience with the King of the universe. You see what I'm saying? Like it's the hunger of your heart and the awareness of your mind, soul, and spirit that bring you in to this encounter with the Lord. And prayer and worship and scriptures are just the most accessible. They're just the easiest. And I would guess that there's probably one or two others that are equally as accessible for, because we're all wired a little bit different. But those three are just general for all of us. We see this, we read this verse last time. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they're the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God's looking for worshipers, real worshipers that worship from their heart in truth. R.C. Sproul says, the real crisis of worship today is not that the preaching is paltry or that it's too drafty in church. It's that people have no sense of the presence of God. And if they have no sense of his presence, how can they be moved to express the deepest feelings of their souls to honor, revere, and worship and glorify God? He's saying we need to cultivate that awareness and that hunger for God's presence. And that will change every discipline that you do, every prayer, every worship, every song you sing, every person that you share Christ with, every act of obedience that you do then begins to be filled with the presence of Jesus. There was a lady that we've actually seen in person. I think we led worship for, if I remember right, but I don't remember for sure, up in Bismarck, Ruth Ward Heflin. And in her book, Glory, she's went to be with the Lord now. She's in glory now. But she had we used to have this banner. I think it hung over there or up here. It said these phrases. It says, praise until the spirit of worship comes. Worship until the glory comes. Then stand in the glory. And I just love that. It helps you to set. It helps you to know that, hey, when I walk into church, it's kind of just me. Yes, God's everywhere present. We know that. We've said that 1,000 times now. Okay? Just move on from that. So, but I'm praising God because why? Because I'm so moved by the Spirit? No, usually not. A lot of times I've fought with my wife. Well, that's why we drive separate now. So we're better. But we, fought with the kids. You're thinking about what we're doing after church. You're annoyed with something or you can't wait for the Vikings to lose today or whatever it is. Didn't even get a chuckle out of that one. You guys are hurting. Yes. Let me be pastoral. It's okay. I won't joke about that anymore. Let the wounds heal a little bit. But we come into church, and the last thing on our minds a lot of times is God. Like in our heart of hearts, we want to meet with the Lord, but that's not where we're at right now. And so I'm going to praise. I'm going to exalt Jesus. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. We're going to tell God about God, right? We're going to exalt him. We're going to praise him. Oh, you're so wonderful, God. You're so amazing. He's done great things. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done, right? And we're going to praise. And we start in our flesh. Unless you've prayed all the way to church, which we recommend. Then you can just start in the Spirit right away. No one has to waste any time, and we're just right in his presence from the immediate. But most people, we're gonna praise until corporately we start sensing, whoa. And we've led worship for probably 30 years now. And we did an experiment for a long time, for a couple of years probably. Marnie and I wouldn't say anything. And then when we get home, we'd kind of quiz each other to see are we just imagining this? Because, if we're just honest, did we really feel the presence of God today, or are we just imagining that? And so for a year or two, we'd say, when? And sometimes say, didn't happen. And I'd say, me neither. I don't know that we got there. I don't know that we sensed a shift in the atmosphere corporately. And other times, we'd ask, we go, it was after the second song, we were singing this line about whatever. And I'm like, that's exactly like we trusted that each other would be honest, but we could have wrote them down. And most, like 9 out of 10 times, like, yep, that's when things shifted. We praised, we're being obedient, we're worshiping God, but then all of a sudden, there's a lightness. Like the atmosphere changes, hearts start getting drawn into his presence. And we then by the spirit of worship, now we're worshiping God. Like, God, I honor you. You are worthy of it all. King of glory, I love you, Lord, right? Then there's this worship. We're not just praising anymore, not just telling him how awesome he is. We're worshiping. Like, I lay my life down before you, Jesus. You're so good. And then we wait. We listen for his voice. We just wait and see what God wants to do. So that's where that kind of came from. And so I thought we'd never really talked about that before. Thought we'd throw that out there. Last one, the Word of God. This is the hardest one for me because it's really easy to be dutiful in this. Worship, man, I'm there right now. Like I'm hungry for God's presence. It's where I easily meet the Lord. Prayer, it's hard to pray, but I've conditioned myself and I know that I don't want to pray dry, boring prayers because that's really boring. So I've worked on cultivating the presence of the Lord in my prayers. God, I want these to be life-filled prayers. I want them to be from heaven. So I don't always get there. Sometimes I pray just like I want to, but I don't sense the Lord's presence. It happens a lot, but also happens a lot that I do. So, but the Word of God, it's usually a couple days behind, and I'm trying to catch up, and I need to slow down and just listen for the Lord. So of the three for me, now I know other people, they're like, man, every time I open this thing, the Lord meets me, like the first word of it. I love that. I'm a little bit jealous. Now, God meets me when I read the Word of God. But let me say this. It's harder to get my heart and my mind in the right place. It's easier for me in worship and for other people. Like, man, I could sing songs until Jesus comes back. When I pray, man, the heavens open. I'm like, whoa. So that's okay. I'm just saying these are three areas that you should easily be able to, in one of these areas. So the Word of God, it's really easy for us just to read through it. We're just reading. Yep. We should read because we're supposed to. Yeah, you are right. You need that. You desperately need that direction and truth in your life because our hearts are deceptive. The culture is deceptive. Our minds are deceptive. We need the truth of God's word to know. Here's the plumb line. Here's what you need to be doing, thinking, saying, and being. Okay, got it. here's how we can slow down a little bit. I don't know if you've, has anyone ever heard of soap? And I don't mean the Dove bar or the pump on the sink. I mean the soap method of reading the Word of God. I see a few nods in the crowd. If you have not, this is just about our last thing today. I'm going to teach you the SOAP method. And it's just an acronym of how to slow down and invite the presence of God into your Bible reading. So the first, well, it's so. First thing, the S is Scripture. So physically write out the Bible verse. Now, if you're reading three chapters, that might not work for that. But if you're taking a littler chunk of Scripture, and these are like you, this is not from the Lord. This is just an opportunity for you to find a way to experience more of God's presence. So write out the Scripture. You'll be amazed at what God will reveal to you when you slow down enough to write out and meditate. I'm not going to say or and meditate on what you're reading. You write it out, you engage a different part of your brain, you quiet some of the thoughts. You can read and be distracted at the same time. It's harder to write and be distracted at the same time. So just write it out. Take your little journal that you've already got from the previous point that I was saying to get a journal from, and just write out the Word of God. Write out a verse or two. Slow down. And the O is observation. What do you see in the verses that you're reading? Who's the audience? Is there a repetition? Stephen is really good at this. He's like, man, there's a word here, there's a word here, and there's a word here. There's a connection here. What's the connection? What words stand out to you? The way that I experience this often is it looks like they're highlighted. They're not. But it, like, they come off the page, they look like, and I've talked to hundreds of people just over the years, and a lot of people have that similar kind of experience. Another way, and this is a great way to learn discernment about the voice of the Lord. If you get good, that's why we need to be in the Word of God all the time, and we need to slow down a little bit. And so a phrase or a word or a thought from the Word of God jumps out at you, and you feel that resonance. It feels like a warmth in my spirit. Like I see, I almost look, it's not, but it looks like it's physically coming off the page or highlighted sometimes. And I feel this, like, heaviness, but not in a bad way, but in a good way. Like, my spirit feels lighter, but it's heavy. I don't know how to explain it, but it's this warmth and presence of God. Take note of that feeling. And it's not a feeling, it's your spirit. We just don't have words for it because we don't talk about our spirit a lot. It's your spirit recognizing something that the Lord is saying. Yeah, it's revelation. Absolutely. So take note of that feeling, because a lot of us say, I just don't know when the Lord's nudging me or when I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. And then if you ever recognize that same kind of warmth and nudge in your chest, just know that the Lord's trying to get your attention. So the Word of God is a safe and a great place to practice sensing that. And then when you're out doing your dishes or you're talking to your friends, you sense that same warm nudging in your spirit. Like, wait a minute. You just go, hold the phone. What were we just and mentally, don't do it out loud. They're going to think you're crazy. But what were we just talking about? Who was just speaking? What's the subject? Who's here? Is there something I need to be aware of? What's about to happen? And you just process that for a couple minutes and go, oh, okay, God, what do you want to speak? What do I need to learn from this? What do I need to speak to somebody? Is there someone hurting that I need to love on? Right? But in the Word of God, it's just a safe place. And when you feel that lift, like, oh, this is for me. Write that down. Here's what the Lord, like, I don't know what this means. I've got a number of pages of revelation from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit nudged, and I still don't know what it, I don't know what it's for. I didn't get revelation on it. But I felt that nudge, so I wrote it down. But get used to that sensation, and then you'll recognize the nudge of the Lord when you're out doing your other things and you don't have the Word of God right in front of you. You say, oh, I feel that. I remember this morning when I was reading that. Whoa, I got that lift in my spirit. What are we doing? All right, we're just about done. We're flying here. A is application. When God's Word becomes personal. So what is God saying to me today? How can I apply what I just read to my life? Is there any changes I need to make? So how do I take this Word of God that he's highlighting to me right now and then apply that to my life? And then P is prayer. If he's, pray God's Word back to him. If he's revealed something to you during this time in his Word, pray about it. Confess any sin that he reveals in your life. Take time to thank him for his goodness in your life. All of a sudden, the Word of God becomes a platform for Jesus to show up in your heart and your life. So it's pretty cool. So there's your acronym. Let's go to the slide you saw last time. So be aware of God, cultivate a hunger for him, and then give him a place to show up. Two slides, we're done. Brother Lawrence, we talked about him last time. He says, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in his divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. He says, were I a preacher, I should preach above all other things the practice of the presence of God. Those who have the gale of the Holy Spirit go forward, even in sleep. If you get good at practicing God's presence, other things in your life will start lining up in better ways. You'll start hearing his voice more. You'll start being bolder. You'll start having more revelation and more wisdom, right? We talked about wisdom this morning. And I just want to say, man, the Holy Spirit is there. He's longing for an audience with you. He's already in you. He's upon you. He's with you. But he's looking for your awareness and your want to. Who wants to, right? Who wants to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you? Like, hey, you go in there and you sit there with him. Okay. Oh, fun. That's a fun coffee time. Right? But if you want to, God, I want to be with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to spend time in your presence. His presence has been such a refuge for Marnie and I through the different seasons of our life. I don't talk about this a lot, like really ever. When we found out that Callie had Down syndrome, man, it just rocked our world. What do you do with that kind of information? Obviously, we're going to love her. But all of a sudden, all your expectations and dreams and pre-planned things and how this is going to be come crashing down. And I just remember the weeks following. I remember specifically on a growl. Being on a gravel road south of town here, driving around in my car, just worshiping the Lord. And my song at that moment was, "You're a good, good father." And Marnie's was, the goodness of God. Yeah. And I didn't know that. She didn't know that. And I would just sing that song. And God's presence would fill my vehicle and fill my soul. And he was right there. And we knew every second of the way that we got this. It's all right. And she has been such a blessing and such a beautiful, just, we've grown. Just what she's done for our family and how our kids have grown and experienced the ability to love in a way that's not usual. But I just remember crying out to God, and God, I trust you. I believe you. I know you're here. But this feels like a hard season. But I am not letting my emotions define what I know about you to be true. You're so good. You are so good. And I'm telling you, there was more presence of God in my car when I would drive around and worship than there's been at any conference, God is there. So I'm just saying, you got to do the work, though. The grace of God is amazing. When you don't do the work, he'll still show up. But if you want to cultivate the presence of God in your life, you've got to do the work. You've got to make a space for him. You've got to let God stir a hunger. The gift of hunger is a gift. If you're hungry for God, you didn't do that. That's a gift. But you're willing. God, I want to be hungry for you. I don't want to just be full of the world. I want to be hungry for you, God. Thanks for leaning into this, you guys. I just believe that the Lord, that just what Stephen said, that this has been a season. Like, this has been God-breathed. So thanks for leaning into that. Thanks for saying, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. Or those of you that are like, I've been living out what you've been talking about for 30 years. So, yeah, like all of you, wherever you're at on this spectrum, thank you for leaning into this. Jesus, thank you for showing up. Thank you for filling our hearts with the goodness of God. And Lord, we just thank you that you are so close. Lord, you said the Lord is near. You are near. You're within us. You're among us. Your weight is upon us. Help us to organize our lives in ways that are conducive to finding you, Jesus, in everything and in every way. I pray for guidance and wisdom and direction, courage, all the things we've already declared this morning. But Lord, more than anything, we would see you, that we would hear your voice, that we would walk with you. We would cultivate this presence of God, and that we would be distinguished people, distinct people, separated, not because of anything we've done, but because of all that you have done. Thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you